Good to see you tonight. Said this morning, I'm always joyed to be with you folks. There's a fellowship of the brethren, always been, hadn't it? And take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to the Lord's high priestly prayer, John 17. John 17. Bishop Rao said that this is the most remarkable chapter in the Bible. It stands above. There is nothing like it. John Knox had it read to him every day in his last illness. You would have thought it would be something that listen to the Lord pray. But here we have it. It's left for us. How great it is that we have this John, the 17th chapter. I want to speak to you tonight from verse number 2. And it's called Three Gifts. Can you read this verse and tell me these gifts? This is a simple outline, isn't it? Was the first one. I'm asking to get a response. Power. God has given him power over all flesh. Our Lord. What's the next gift? Eternal life. He should give eternal life. It's always spoken of as a gift, isn't it, in the Scriptures. What's the third one? Sir? As many as thou hast given him, as the people given unto him. Three gifts. Giving him power over all flesh. Give eternal life, then to as many as given him. This tells us that all mankind is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how preachers, in society, how they can preach such a weak Christ. Do you? Here it says, all power is given to me over all flesh. And all mankind is under his authority, under his power. All flesh is. This speaks of the power of ability, the power of authority, and he has this as God. His brother said this morning, co-equal. But he has this authority here as a donation of the Father as mediator, as the God-man. We find the jurisdiction of him is very large. There's none exempted from it. Let's turn back to the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. And I want to give you two or three verses here in Psalms 103. In verse 19, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom ruleth over all. Turn back to Psalms 72 in verse number 8, and here's another verse. Psalm 72 and verse 8. He shall have dominion also from the sea to the sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Psalms 47, verse 7. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. So all of these verses tells us that all is put under Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing tonight that's not under His dominion. Aren't you glad of that? There's nothing that's not, it's all under His hands. His friends is under His authority. His enemies also are under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says on His vesture, King of kings and Lord of lords, judge of all, the scripture says. And it talks about here all flesh, and that is speaking of man, and it can be any flesh, I guess, but it's speaking of man. He has the authority and the power, and He disposes to His good pleasure. Now, earthly kings, they have bounds. They have limits. But there's no limit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He reigns over all of mankind. To the elect, there's His power and His authority to rescue us from sin, from Satan, from the world. He has a special charge. If you take Joseph, when he was down in Egypt, he had power over the land, but he had a special affection for that of his people, didn't he? And that's our Lord. He's over it all. But He has a special affection for that of His people. He reigns over that of His church. He's called King of Nations, King of the Saints, head over all things to the church. And He also has a rod of iron, the scripture says, to that of nations. To that of the church He guides. He has a golden scepter to that of the church. The Lord reigneth. Now, in taking this verse tonight and looking at it, Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. That's comfort to that of God's children. You take comfort in this. That it's all in the hands of Christ Jesus. Even the devil has to have leave, doesn't he? He has to have leave. The devil does. And when we think of Christ and that of His hands, what kind of hands are they? We say loving hands, wise hands, powerful hands. It's all in His hands. He has power to save, and He also has power to damn, doesn't He? The Bible says every knee is going to bow to Him, call Him Lord. So you better do it in this life. Be too late. After that, you're going to bow. Every knee's going to bow and call Him Lord to the glory of God the Father. Scripture says. He has power to keep. I'm glad of that tonight, of His keeping power. We don't keep ourselves, but He's the one that keeps us, isn't He? He has power to gather. He gathers us. And so we look at it tonight, and it tells us that He has been given power. Here's that gift of power over all flesh. Next it says that He should give eternal life. The gift of eternal life. He has this power, and He has this power to for that of His people to give them eternal life. It's for the benefit, their benefit and salvation. And we know this is the end that He came. Over in the book of Matthew, it tells us that He shall save His people from their sins. He shall. It's not attempt, but it is He shall. Now, I like the shalls of the Bible. When the Lord says of a shall, don't you? My shalls is not quite like that, but His shalls is going to come to pass, aren't they? He shall save his people. And over in Peter, says he's not willing for them to perish, but come to repentance. And I give unto them, John the 10th chapter, I give unto them eternal life. This is Christ's gift. Now, a lot of people has turned this around and they think they give a gift to Christ. But it's not one's gift to Christ, it's Christ's gift to us. And he gets the glory. It's not the merit of one's works. We have all these people today crying up works. But it's not that. It's the fruit of his grace. It's a gift unto us. And he's the donator of it to us. And it comes from his bounty. The gift of God is spoken in several places in the scripture. And it's not that of earthly riches and things of the world, but eternal life that he gives. And that's what he's ordained to give, eternal life. And that's the most precious possession tonight that we could have. There's no more precious possession than this. That's real happiness, isn't it, to have eternal life? How can one be happy knowing that one day they got to face God and go out of this world? Outside of this state of eternal life. You know, life is more than food and raiment and all of this. And this, it says here, give eternal life. James and other places it speaks in the scripture of earthly life and is spoken of as a vapor. And we've seen over morning the mist come up and it goes away. It's spoken of as a breath. And we know what that means. We've seen our breath on a cold morning. And it tells us that it appears for a season. But this is a life, this eternal life is a life that is never spent. It's one that one's never weary of living. And one that never wish an end of eternal life. It goes on. It's eternal. You know, many men may curse the day that they were born, but there's never been one to curse the day of their new birth. And this life begins, is given, regeneration. The scripture speaks of it as a seed that can't be destroyed. It's a life of the grace of God that can't be extinguished. Turn with me to John, the 5th chapter, back just a few verses or a few chapters to the 5th chapter, verse number 24 of John. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's something that you have, isn't it? He says he hath everlasting life. He that believeth on him that sent me. You know, that's pretty. Look at the verse number 3 of the 17th chapter. He tells us what this life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. There's just one Christ that he sent. That's the one this Bible speaks of and continually speaks of. Paul spoke and he talks about there that he's in strait between two, that of being with Christ. So that's far better. And that's where this life takes one. It's eternal. It takes you to a better life. Heaven, doesn't it? It's that heavenly life. The Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And we come into this world as sinners. The misery of sin. But here's that which takes us to eternal glory. This eternal life. And we find it is dispensed by the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read these verses in the 17th chapter here of the book of John, we notice that nowhere else does this come from, does it? It's only from Him. We come into this world dead spiritually, the Scripture speaks, and in a state of death and condemnation. And we can't put life in ourselves. I don't care what anybody says. You can't put life into yourself. You can't raise yourself. People talk about raising themselves from by their bootstraps. I tried that one time. You just mash down feathers, all you do. It's Christ. Here's His power. And He gives this to us. And as He gives it, we were not able to obtain it. It's a gift from Him. And we're just thankful of that. All of this transcends that of the first Adam. Here's the second Adam. The first Adam led us into death. But here's that of the second Adam. Eternal life. He's the giver of it. He's the author of it. He's the fountain of it. He's the quickening spirit. We hear Him say, I am the truth. I am the way, and He says, I am the life, doesn't He? The life. The life to God. In the book of Galatians, turn with me to the book of Galatians in chapter 2 and verse number 20. Here Paul writes, and he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And here's that life. See how he's alive to God? See what the grace of God has done for him? And this has made a change in his life? Of all the people in the Scripture, if you want to read about a great change, Paul is an example, isn't he, when you look at him? You'd think seeing him persecuting that of the church and going to Damascus there with the church members and all, and you think he is a vessel fitted for destruction. But he is a vessel of mercy, wasn't he? God had mercy upon him. Give him life. He says, I live. And Christ liveth in me. And there's his life. The Scripture goes on and speaks of old things passing away and all things become new. Isn't that what happened? Didn't old things pass away? We begin to have new desires and new thoughts and different purpose in life. And this new life, it begins by desiring the very milk of the Word, doesn't it? We desire God's Word. You know, there's something that those that God's children, they desire His Word. They want His Word. They desire it. Talk about wisdom. We go to one that is wise. And a wise person goes to the wise, doesn't he? And he learns, as you read a while ago. And here's that new life, eternal life. And it's a supernatural. It's eternal life given. And there's faith. And this life is lived to Christ and received from Him and comes from Him. And outside of this life that He gives unto us, man just lives for himself. We've all noticed this, haven't we? We were like that too, wouldn't we? Just self, self. Isn't that what man's all about, is self? But this is what changes a man when he puts his life within and gives out of life. We're to be thankful tonight that he saved us, and a word is used as he's rescued us. We've been rescued. Now, that's important to know, and that gives praise to our Redeemer, isn't it? That he's rescued us. And that's what he's done in that of his salvation. And he's given us eternal life. And now we're pardoned. And here's that life that is lasting and enduring. And Christ preserves it. And I say unto you tonight, nothing's going to destroy this life. It's his life. And it's a free gift. It's not sold. You know, the Bible says that to come without money and price. He's the donor of it. It's not wages. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. It's free in all the, it's in respects that it's unbought. You can't buy it. And let's see, he's the giver of it. It's unsought also, isn't it? Man goes a different way to the Lord. Brings him. I realized this a long time ago. The Lord just left me. I just go on the way that I was going. And you would too. You have to admit that. You just kept on going. Aren't you glad tonight that he sought you? The Bible says you will not come to me that you have life. And it's like Lazarus there in the tomb, and Christ came to that of the very grave and addressed him and says, rise and live. The Bible says he came to seek and to save the lost. Now, let me tell you this. He puts his life within you so that you can answer the call. He puts his life within you. The dead man answered the call. He puts his life within you so you can answer that call. And he calls us. The Bible speaks of the shepherd always seeking that of the sheep. And here Jesus Christ, he's appointed. He came. He's a giver of eternal life to that of his people. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. Next, it says, to as many as thou hast given him. There's given to the Lord Jesus Christ a people. They're his by the way of reward in the eternal covenant of God. Isaiah 53, that great important chapter in the scripture, and it says there, he shall see his seed. It talks about him prospering. It talks about the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. There's two seeds in this world. One of them is Christ. There's a people given to him by the way of reward. There's a people given to him by the way of charge to be redeemed and justified, sanctified, and glorified. Turn with me to the sixth chapter of the book of John. Just turn back a few pages. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now I hear the last part of this quoted over and over. And it's good to quote it. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But they always leave out the first part. He says, all that the Father giveth me is going to come to me. They've been given to him. He's going to have them. And he says, I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again in the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Sounds pretty certain to me, all this, doesn't it to you? So, there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a people that's put to his account. God has trusted Christ with that of the elect. If he trusted him, you can trust him with that of your very souls, can't you? The bishop of your soul. I like that, the overseer of your soul. And here he says, power over all flesh to give eternal life to those that's given to him. They're going to be with him. Look at verse 9 here. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse number 11. Those thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except that of the son of perdition, that scriptures might be fulfilled. He goes on, he says, all of mine are thine, and thine are mine. Do you realize that you belong to both, Father and Son? Thine are mine are thine. So the flock is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They put in his hands for saving, for keeping. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, verse 23, the last part of it. And this just, I have to stop when I read this. He's speaking to the Father, and he says, thou hast sent me, and he says, thou hast loved them as thou loves me. Did I read that right? That's what it says. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, we wouldn't have believed that. It wouldn't have written there for us. I can see how he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. But he loves us in him. It's in him. Bishop Ryle said one time, he said Christ had a perfect son. What did he want with us? He had a perfect son. Now, look at verse 24, the last part of it. He tells us, Father, says, you lovest me before the foundation of the world. So if he loved us as he loved Christ, he loved us from when? From the foundation of the world, didn't he? I like that verse found over in Jeremiah. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. I like that, don't you? So, his flock is committed to him for saving, for keeping. Their names are written in the Lamb's book of life, of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. John, the 10th chapter, says, he calleth his sheep by name. And there's a day coming. Hebrews tells us that the Lord is going to say, behold, I and the children, thou hast given me. That's the final windup. Here they are. You've given them to me. You put them in my hands. And here they are. I brought them through. I've redeemed them. They're given to me. I've cared for them. And by the way, the high priest in the Old Testament carried the tribes of Israel upon the breastplates, didn't he? The Lord, our high priest, carries our names. Carries our names. And none of his lambs is going to be forgotten. Because, as we said this morning, he sits on the right hand of the Father. He's the interceder. He speaks good words for that of his people. In this passage of scripture here, in the 17th chapter of John, he talks about his disciples, and he said, they've kept your word. Now, did they keep it perfectly? Those disciples? He says, they've kept your word as a tenor of their lives. They desired his word, kept his word. He speaks good things for that of his people. And he's going to see them all come together. Scripture puts it like this. He confesses before God. He says, you confess before men, I confess before God of you. Then he's going to present his bride one day. And it's all going to be in triumphant. His very bride. As I said a while ago, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. So here's these three gifts. He has power over all flesh. All authority and power. And that he is to give eternal life. He's the giver of your eternal life. The only giver. It's none other. No other place. It's a gift. He's the giver. And he says he gives it to as many as thou hast given him, as the people given to him. And he gives them eternal life. There are those that confess to him, those that believe upon him, that follow him. That's his people, isn't it? They know him. As it says here in verse number 3, they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And that it talks about believing in whom he has sent over and over in the scriptures in different places. It talks about Christ says he sent me, and believing upon him. And he sent him. And he's the one that sent him. Take these thoughts and may the Lord use them for you. To grow in grace, knowledge of him. I just like this passage of scripture all the way through here. He goes on down. He says, I've glorified thee on earth, and I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and I've manifested thy name. And he talks about the world, and he talks about himself and the world, and he talks about the Christian and the world. So you can study that and look at it as he speaks to us in this passage of Scripture. What a great passage it is. And verse 24. I spoke at my father-in-law's funeral. And I said to the people, I said, I'm going to use a verse that I would like for myself. And that's, I spoke upon this verse. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What a great verse. Behold his glory. One day you're going to behold his glory. I don't know how to speak much about that, but I just know that we're going to behold his glory. He's a glorious Son of God. I thank you for this day. Thank the Lord and his providence that we're here, and may his blessings rest upon you. Father, take thy word. May that we look at it think about it and study it, that we in turn just think about what you've done for us, and that you're the giver of eternal life, and you've given us life that never ends, this life that will be with thee throughout all eternity. And we're just thankful, and we know that the wages of sin is death. There's no way we could earn this, buy it, but thou art the giver, and it's a free gift. We thank you and we praise you. Bless this people, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.